Blog Talk Radio.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Thank you.
If it's not one thing, it's another. I first lost my cable connection to the internet, and now my laptop battery light is on.
Oh, no. It won't take an hour.
It shows I have 0% power left. That has to be a typo. There we go. Okay. And the light goes out. So anyway, my name is Mike. We have Ron with us. And if you would like to give us a call, please do so on the phone. We'd like to get you on our switchboard and get you on the air. Please talk about wine. And particularly if you are located in the great, great state of Delaware, please give us a call. We're in the crowd. And let me try that again. If you're located in the great, great state of Delaware, hello?
There you go. Our bus people. All right.
A little bit too much wine tonight.
Already.
Give us a call at area code 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235.
And we will repeat that later. So in case, Kathy, if you're out there listening, then give us a call. I'd love to get you on the air.
Yes.
If you're not listening yet, then we'll repeat it, and hopefully we can get you on the air. Kathy's one of the ladies I talked to in the Delaware Winery, so that's why I was talking to her.
Yay. Okay, excellent. We'd like to hear from you out there, so definitely give us a call. That number one more time is area code 646-727-3235. I should have like a little frog noise back in the back.
Reverberation.
I was waiting for something to happen there. But anyway, here we are. It's another great hour of talking about wine. And tonight, the state is Delaware. We have passed all the whatever the other. Are you stapling something?
No, not me.
Are you clicking?
No, not me.
That must be me then. That's probably my battery going. Okay, so anyway, there it goes. Discharging.
There it goes.
I have no power left. We'll be here, so give us a call between now and 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm watching the battery status going, you don't have any power left on your laptop.
Down and down and down.
Yeah, it says 0%, so I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, that's it. Clicking. Okay.
If I lose you, then I'll just keep on talking.
Now, last week we finished up, and you said something about and I forgot to mention this earlier, but we were going to talk about late harvest. Was that this week?
Oh, yeah.
About late harvesting and
we were talking a little bit about, you're right. I had forgotten that we said we were going to talk about it. Since Delaware is so small and there's only two wineries, it give us a little time to fill in. Also, we can't have time to call in.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Did they quit?
No, my laptop.
Hello, and welcome to. You are now live on air.
Okay, we are back.
We are back with Lost Hawk and 1000 Mics.
You know, when that battery went down, it went down quick.
Yep.
Okay, let's see if. I don't know if they're still there. Yes, we do have a call, actually. 302 area code. Let's see if they're on with us. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Somebody. Yeah.
Hello.
Sorry about that. We went off for some reason. It just switched off everything. So
yeah, I'm here.
Great. You're on with Mike, and Ron is here from Florida State's Winery here in Florida, and we're talking about wine.
Is this Kathy by any chance?
Yes, I am, Kathy.
Well, fantastic. I talked to you earlier today. I'm glad you called us, Kathy.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a problem. I'm trying to maneuver on the Internet to actually bring up the blog. I had it, and then it went out. So anyways, I've got you on the phone, so whether or not it shows up on the computer, I'm not worried about that.
Well, we are on the computer, and we are on the phone, and we are talking to you. So everything's good. We did lose the connection for a little bit there. And because we lost the connection, we lost everything. And so we're back online. Thank you for hanging on to us and staying with us and not giving up. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everyone, I talked to Kathy earlier today. She is from one of two wineries that's located in Delaware. And I asked her if she got an opportunity to give us a call back today. We can talk about the winery some more. She can tell us about a little history and stuff like that herself. Instead of you all listening to me all the time like you do, we've got ourselves a guest tonight, Kathy from Pizzadeli Winery. Pizzadeli Winery is located in Felton, Delaware, which is pretty much in the center of the state, just south of Dover, actually southwest of Dover a little bit. And Kathy, the winery, we were talking earlier, you said they started to plant in 1992.
Yeah, if you want a little bit of history, you know, let me know how much you want me to talk, because I do give the tours.
Just
and
tell us the history. We'd love to hear it.
History.
Great.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Let you go.
Back in 1956, my husband and his family, you know, immigrated to the United States. His father was a winemaker in the old country in Italy, so it's something that was in their blood. Something they had knowledge of. So he and his brother have made wine ever since they stepped foot in America. It was always their dream to own a winery and continue on and share their love of wine with everybody else. So in 1992, we purchased a little more than 100 acres of land, which is located in King County. And because this was a second business for them, it was like the weekend hobby. So it took from that time all the way to about 2007 when we got our liquor license. So we officially opened up our winery in October of 2007. I don't know
what,
how much more. Go ahead.
You said that another business, you told me, but what other business were they in? What were they doing?
Okay, well, back in 1956, when you immigrated to America, you could not just come over. You had to have a host family, you had to have a job to come to, and you had to have a house to live in. So my husband's uncle started the business of Pizzadeli's Delicatessen. And so when his father, mother, and brother and sister came over, they had a place to work. They had a place to live. And so when the uncle, as the years went on, they bought the business from the uncle. So it was my husband, Tony, and his brother, Pete, that have been running the business ever since. They do catering all over the state of Delaware. And that became such a good business that it didn't leave much time to get the new business, which was the winery, up and running, and that's why it took so long. And as Delaware Today quoted them, we are Delaware's best-kept secret. So one by one, yeah. So one by one, the word's getting out to people. We, you know, we've been booked with weddings. We've been blessed for 3 years. From April all the way until the end of October, we've seen as much as 3 or 4 weddings every weekend. And
wow, great.
So, and with that comes the consumption of wine. And so we've been doing very well with our business. We sell only at our winery, so if you want our wine, you have to come to Little Felton, Delaware. But we like to brag that It's a natural wine. We don't like to add sugar. We put very little sulfites in it, so it's healthier for you. You don't wake up with that heavy-headed feeling if you've enjoyed your wine the night before. And so we like to take...
Go ahead. Yeah, did you go organic?
No. No, we do have to spray, you know, for the diseases, you know, the molds, the mildews, the insects. So, no, we don't grow organic, but we like to take the grape as Mother Nature presents it, you know, process it, ferment it, bottle it, and put as little chemicals as we possibly have to preserve it and then pass that on to our customers.
I want to point out, too, that Kathy told me earlier when we were talking today that it's very humid there. The Delaware is so small, and it's right on the ocean. It's very low altitude, so it's very humid, very green. So that's probably one of the reasons why you have to spray, because of the fact that there is so much humidity, and it gets in the grape clusters, gets in the grapevines and stuff. So, just to let people know, you know, this is it's almost a necessity in certain areas spraying just to because of humidities and different problems. And while I'm talking, I'm going to point out, she said, the best-kept secret. It really is. I was looking up Delaware wineries, and I found Nassau Valley Vineyards. And with a little bit more digging, I found Felton Crest Vineyards and then Pizzadelli. And I thought, wow, three wineries. So I called the phone number on Felton Crest, and Kathy answered Pizzadelli, and I go, wait a minute, no, I'm calling Felton Crest. And so I'll let you, Kathy, tell the story of why you have two names, actually.
Okay, well, way back when, which, of course, is way before 1990, when we were toying with a name, there was a TV show called Felton Crest. And so someone said, well, we live in Felton. Why don't we name it Felton Crest? So we were toying with that idea, but the closer we got to actually opening, you know, everybody kept saying, no, you have to go with your family name. It's got to be Pizzadelli, you know, Vineyards and Winery. So, of course, you know, we listened to the public, and we went with our last name. And I don't know how that first name got into phone books and on the Internet, but it did. And so anybody that sees Felton Crest, that is Pizzadelli Winery.
And Felton Crest is everywhere, because I kept running across it all the time. You have an event coming up tomorrow night. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. My niece, who is a cancer survivor, puts on, and I think this is the third annual one that she'll be doing. It's a fundraiser for cancer. It's a ladies' night only, heavy hors d'oeuvres, and the wine flows all night. They're going to be having a band playing and all kinds of entertainment and things to do, and the ladies come out and have a good time. And then further down the road,
I noticed that, and it's a great cause, too.
Okay.
Yeah, great cause, something that's real good.
Mm-hmm.
We were also talking about what your wines. Would you like to run through your wine for us and tell us what you do there and what you a little bit about the wines?
Okay, when you say what we do there or what I do there?
What you.
When
what
you say,
wines
can
you make, what wine you grow, tell
okay.
us about your...
Okay, well, I'm going to try to go off the top of my head. I had the list in front of me when I was talking to you, but we grow the Delaware grape.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I'm going to go using my visual as I sweep across the shelves in the store. We have the Delaware grape. We have the Vidal grape. We have Sauval Blanc. We have Chardonnay. Merlot. Riesling, Chamborson, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Pinot Noir. And then we have several blends that we make.
They on their website, they list all those that Kathy just said, but they also list some fruit wines.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fruit wines a little bit today. You want to tell us about those fruit wines also? Those sound really good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. My brother-in-law was given a truckload of strawberries 1 year. And they had said, we can't do anything with them. You know, maybe we thought you could use them. So he made his first batch of strawberry wine. It turned out so well, and it was just so delicate in the mouth that he decided, okay, now the next one I'm going to try is cherry. So he tried his hand at the cherry wine, and then after that, I put in my bid for blackberry. I like the more robust fruits, and that turned out excellent. So then he tried plum. From there, he went on to pumpkin, and it's taken a good 3/4 of a year for the labels to finally get passed. So now we can have pumpkin this fall. We've got apple brewing, and we've got another, it's a strawberry Riesling that we found out we could, for whatever reason, the government wouldn't let us call it strawberry Riesling, so we called it strawberry mist. That's in the process of having the paperwork done for the fourth time to be submitted to try to get that approved so we can start selling that. We didn't realize all the paperwork that was going to be entailed in getting certain wines, you know, to be able to be put on the shelf and sold to the public.
Yeah.
And you being a winemaker yourself
must have gone
through a lot of this yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a battle. Always a battle. The pumpkin, we were talking a little bit about that earlier. And Kathy said that her brother-in-law, Kathy is married to Tony, who is one of the two brothers that started. And Pete is Tony's brother, her brother-in-law. He is the winemaker. And she said that Pete takes the pumpkins, slices them up, throws them in a big pot, boils them, and then pours off the juice and ferments the juice from the pumpkins on that. So it sounds great to me. I mean, it really sounds interesting. 100 acres total there you have?
Yeah, just a little bit more than that. But
and you have it planted with all these fruits?
We don't grow all those fruits here, but we do buy from Delaware orchards. Pfeiffert Orchards is one of them. We've got our pumpkins from there, our apples from there, our peaches from there. So.
Very cool.
Wow. One of the things that Kathy was also telling me, which I thought was really archaic as far as laws go on, we were also talking about how strange the laws are around this country for shipping everything. She said one of the laws that they had there was that someone can buy wine there, and they had their dinners there, but until the law was changed, they could not open a bottle of wine there. The way the laws were set up, you could not open it on premises. And so Tony or Pete, who was it? Went down.
Pete. It was Pete.
It was Pete. Pete went down to the legislature and battled this and got it written into law that you could open on premises. And then that way they could serve whenever they had events at the winery, they can serve their wine and open it. Previously, it was illegal to do that. So I thought that was a rather interesting item there that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
soil, we were talking about the soil, Kathy said that it was just old lumpy clay soil, a little thin topsoil and with basically clay underneath it. She said it's a great struggle, but they survive. And she said they usually harvest in October, first or second weekend in October, I believe you said?
Yes.
But this year, because of so little rain and so much sunshine, you were picking some grapes as early as last month.
Well, we started beginning of September. You know, as soon as September came in, we were picking the Riesling and the Pinot Noir.
The Pinot Noir was being picked then, so that's almost a month and a half before it's known you're
ready.
Yeah. That's quite a difference of time there.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of sunshine.
this past year, have you? Yeah. Did do you use stainless steel or any oak?
Well, certain wines we do ferment in oak, like the Chardonnay. The white wines typically in the stainless steel, the reds in the oak.
So what you're using, American, French, European oak, what are you using?
He did start buying some of the barrels from France, but then found it was too expensive, so then he switched to the American.
Uh-huh. You can get just as good of a quality and a lot cheaper price that way, too.
Well, I guess like with everybody else, you're always trying to look for, you know, to save a little money here or there.
That's right. I've noticed on your website, you have yourself a beautiful pavilion there. That was all, that's where you hold the, your,
weddings and large functions. Yes.
Yeah, it's, their website, and let me give you their website simply because it's almost impossible to find it going through search engines. If anyone wants to check it out, it's Pizzadeli, that's Pizzadeli Winery, Winery, all one word, PizzadeliWinery.com. And a great site, their opening page shows some vineyards, and you scroll down to the bottom, and there's a whole bunch of bottles across the bottom. Those are your links to your other parts of the website. Interesting that you guys have been there. You're growing so fast, and you're going through, the economy obviously is not good to be starting a winery, but it seems like you overcame it, and you're doing quite well for yourselves there.
Well, like I said, we were pretty blessed. You know, we live in a small town. We have a lot of friends. The community all knows the guys through their catering. So, of course, when they said they wanted to open a winery, I mean, the community was all behind them and just practically banging at the door wanting to know when. And that was part of the reason why we were the best-kept secret. Because if you tell people, I'm going to open March of 06, then everybody expects you're going to be open. You know, you better open those doors. And because of their businesses and them not knowing when, they figured we're not telling anybody anything. We're not saying a word. So we came, we opened, we didn't advertise, we didn't say anything, and one by one people are finding out. And so they're saying you are the best kept secret. Some people live right across the street and didn't realize there was a winery there. It shows,
how
narrow our field of looking one way or another is. You know, you jump in the car and you head out to go into the city, and you don't look left and you don't look right. You just, you know, one track mind. But once in a while, I guess the
like
eyes.
Like finders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do live out here in Amish country. You know, the back roads, you can see the horse and buggies.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So that is Amish country there, huh?
Well,
that's interesting. Delaware, also we need to point out, was the first state of the country. It was our founding state. To find out that, and actually some of the first vineyards were planted in Delaware way back when the Pilgrims were over here. They had a few vineyards here and there around Delaware. So it's got a long history of winery. Of grapes, but not a long history of wines and wineries. I noticed on your website too that just a beautiful facility, Dominic. That your donkey.
Yes.
Is Dominic?
Yes, Dominic.
He's still around.
Yes, he's still around. There's a song out called Dominic the Donkey, and I guess that's where they got the name from, but. Yeah, they wanted to have originally a Sardinian donkey because they're from the island of Sardinia, which is part of Italy.
Uh-huh.
And the family moved to the mainland and settled in the Tuscany region. That's where two more children were born. So my husband was born on the island, his brother on the mainland, and then eventually they moved back to the island and stayed until they came to the States in 56. So they wanted this Sardinian donkey, and that's as close as they came. We have other animals. We have a horse. We had cows. We have goats, chickens. So we now get our own eggs that we don't have to go out for. So they're doing a little bit of everything.
Oh, sounds great. And not surprised, you have children?
Yes, I have two daughters. Pete also has two daughters. A good decade and a half apart, because Pete had gotten married first, had his children, and then many, many years later, his brother met me. So he got married later on in life, and we started our family. So there's a good 15 years span there. But no boys, much to their chagrin. You know, they would have liked to have had a son in there to help out. But they're saddled with all us women. And my sister-in-law and all.
Do the girls help at the winery?
Yes, they help out in the catering aspect, as far as the bartenders. You know, Wendy and Angela do the bartending. My youngest, I have one in college, one just graduated college, so they would go out and help with the catering. And then I and my sister-in-law man the front desk, you know, in the sales room. Do the wine tastings, and I do the tours. So there's a little bit for everybody to keep us busy.
Fantastic. That sounds great.
One thing Delaware did do,
I
was going to just plug this last thing, if that's okay.
The
Delaware Department of Tourism had started the Delaware Wine and Ale Trail through Delaware. So anybody coming out of state visiting and wanted to look for something to do, they could follow this trail and visit the different breweries and the two wineries in Delaware. Well, on October the 17th of this year coming up, Pizzadilly Winery will be hosting where the breweries and the wineries come to us, and they will be displaying and setting up booths so that you can taste all the different beers that are made in Delaware and the different wines.
Oh, fantastic. Ooh. Well, that sounds like a great event. That's Sunday, October 17th?
Yes. And it will be from 12 to 5.
12 to 5. Anyone in Delaware at that time, be sure to check that out. That sounds like a great event, too. Instead of driving all over to taste all the wines and beer in Delaware, you can do it at one place, at Pizzadilly Vineyard and Winery. Kathy, I really appreciate the phone call. It has been fantastic. Thank you for all the information. And,
okay, thank you.
Good luck with your guys' adventure out there. And anyone that's listening to us or going to listen to us on archives, if you want to get a hold of Pizzadilly Winery, I will once again give you the information. It is Pizzadilly Winery, P-I-Z-Z-A-D-L-I, winery.com. Or you can call them at 302-284-9463. That's 302-284-9463. And they're located in Felton, Delaware, which is just a little southwest of Dover, which is the state capital. On what, 13, is it?
Yeah.
Right off of 13, okay, 13, that's what I thought I saw. Right off of 13.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, check them out, say hi to Kathy, and enjoy their wines. So, again, Kathy, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in tonight, and it was great.
Okay, thanks. It was nice talking with you, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Guess I got it. I love the street name that they're on, Peach Basket Road. Did you see that?
I use that.
1683 Peach Basket Road in Felton, Delaware. So, yeah, definitely. That sounds cool to have all those people gather around there on October 17th. So, and they're looking...
They have that big event. And like I say, it's a good way to taste all the wines and taste the beer that's available in Delaware and all that. This is a great event, it sounds like.
They're open every day as well. Only closed for major holidays, but they're open every day, noon to 5 p.m. So, and they do wine tasting, winery tours, and it really looks like a neat place. I like the dining room table they show on the main website is man, it seats, what, 70? I think it says 70 people.
70 people, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing. Just and the grounds look really cool, too. So I was just looking at
their their pavilion hall. It's beautiful thing. And the pavilion hall, they have it so you can put up the sides, the one that's on their opening pages with the tent sides on it, and they can remove those sides and just make a big outdoor type pavilion. So,
oh, okay.
Really a beautiful
setting. Yeah, I didn't realize that was a tent side on the side, like a roll up type thing. Wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, they can then remove those and just have it as a big open pavilion type thing.
Wow. And that seats about 400 people too, so that thing's good size.
Huge. And they said if they need more, they can always tack on a tent to the side of it to expand it. So, just a great place there. It just sounds really exciting. Mm-hmm. And it was so odd because I found the website for Felton Crest Vineyard and I noticed the phone number and I called it and she answered, this is Deli Vineyard. And I go, wait a minute, no. Who is this? And she said, this is Ellie. And I go, well, I'm trying to call. Do you know Felton Crest? And then she told me the story about how the name has really stayed out there.
So, that's good.
It's really, really quite interesting. Again, Kathy, if you hook back up and you're listening to us, thank you very much for calling in. That was fantastic. We did enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely.
There is one other winery in Delaware.
Really? Oh. let me get my total down now. So we had one, and you have another one.
One more. Yeah.
That's
another winery in Delaware. It's called Nassau Valley Vineyards. Nassau Valley Vineyards is actually the first. Nassau Valley Vineyards was founded in 1987. Now, I called Nassau Valley Vineyards, and I got an answering machine, and I left a message to have them call me. And obviously they're busy, maybe in harvest or whatever they might be doing. I never got a call back from them. But they have a great website, and I'll give you some information about Nassau Valley Vineyards off the website here. Founded in 1987, they are actually the first commercial wine vineyard to exist in the state. Peg Raley and her father, Bob Raley, founded the vineyards on the a farm site in Lewes, I think of L-E-W-E-S, Lewes, Delaware. Peg actually got her start working for a couple magazines, the Friend of Wine magazines and Ami Du Vin International magazine. And after serving for many years as a writer, working many years as a writer and jumping around the globe to different wineries, decided it was time for her to do some wines. And so she started it, but Delaware's law at the time prohibited farm wineries. So Peg drafted a legislation and lobbied the Delaware General Assembly to create a farm winery legislation for the state of Delaware, and the law was passed in 1991. And the Raleighs opened their vineyard in 1993. And that was just about the same year that Pizzadelli was just starting to plant theirs, but obviously they were busy with their deli restaurant and catering and all that. The winery, the Nassau Valley Winery, is planting a lot of the same grapes that you're going to find at Pizzadelli Devils there. Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. Plus they use local and nationally and regional grown fruits to extend their product line. So they have an extensive line, including grapevine. The wines that they do have a Pinot Grigio, a dry style Pinot Grigio, which it's been an award winner. A dry Chardonnay, which is aged in stainless steel, and then for about 9 months in French oak. They do a rosé, dry rosé, unlike your white Zins and stuff. It's a little bit drier. A crisp finish, dry, not to be confused with the white Zin and white Merlot style, a little bit drier than that. They also have a Cabernet Sauvignon, dry Cabernet, 96% Cabernet Sauvignon, 2% Merlot, and 2% Cabernet Franc. And the question always arises for those of you, you know, 2% Merlot, 2% Cabernet Franc, is that going to make that much of a difference? Actually, it can. Cabernet Franc and the Merlot can add a little bit more depth of color, especially the Cabernet Franc to it. And it can also tone it down just a fraction. Cabs tend to be the less acidic, and those two can tone it down. So it can help a lot. They do a Vineyard Select Cabernet Sauvignon, which they charge a little bit more for. It's one of their most expensive wines, but that's a blend of 86% Cab, 7% Cabernet Franc, and 7% Merlot. All the grapes were grown in their vineyard at the winery there. They have a wine called a Merlot Adrift. It is 100% Merlot, a softer style Merlot, a dry Merlot, but not super dry. They do a House Red. It's a blend, but usually runs about 75-85% Merlot. And by law, technically, they could call that a Merlot, but they choose to call it a House Red. They have what they call a Laurels Red, what they're referring to as a user-friendly wine. It's made with 100% Chambordian grape. Chambordian tends to give a little bit lighter style, a little fruitier, lighter style. They age in stainless steel, which continues that light and fruitiness. And they refer to it as their pasta, pizza, and burger red. They also do a Meadows Edge White. Again, it's a gold winner. It's a blend of the Sauval Blanc and the Vidal Blanc. A peach ambrosia, which sounds really good, actually, made with 100% peach juice and no grape juice, so it's just peach. Semi-sweet. They didn't go with a real heavy, sweet, syrupy type peach, but a little bit lighter style. A blueberry, 100% locally grown blueberry wine. It's a sweet wine. They do a Delaware wine. Now, Delaware is the name of a grape also. It's the name of a state and also the name of a grape, the Delaware grape. Delaware grape is a native grape of the United States. It's a part of the Labrusca family. It is usually makes for a much sweeter wine, almost a clingy finish on most Delawares I've had. The Delaware red. They have one which they call, it's a sweet red, they call the Redneck Rouge. They refer to this as the Redneck Rouge is great with possum, muskrat, squirrel, and roadkill. And they also have, other wines that they make periodically, small batches of them, different fruit wines, different things and all that. So this is, their list of wines. They also rent the facility. They have parties, events, and all that there. It's quite a large facility, actually. They do a self-tour. They have galleries there, and they feature different artists, local artists. And at the beginning of the month, that the artist is going to show his work there, be it paintings or sculptures or whatever, they have a artist night where the artist comes in and opens up the display and talks about his work and all that. And it's a wine and a display, which I thought was really pretty cool. I like that concept. When I was in Kentucky, I ran across a couple of wineries that did that too, that had a great big room in a barn, actually, that was a whole bunch of paintings from local artists. So I always think that's a really neat way to do it, a neat idea. But they have numerous different facilities where they can have events. They have outdoor and indoor facilities and all that. So also do a lot of catering and a lot of facility rentals for weddings and events of any type and any sort there. They are going strong, been going strong for years. They open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, and then Sunday to 5. Monday by appointment. So, again, if you get a chance to go there, they are located in Lewes, L-E-W-E is Lewes, I believe it's Lewes, Delaware, and they are, which is in the southern part of Delaware, the southern section of Delaware. A couple more things about Delaware, and then I'm going to talk sweet wines, or about the type of sweet wines, which we started talking about at the beginning, and then we had technical difficulties, and then Kathy called and had a great conversation with her. The state of Delaware, it is low elevation. Like I mentioned when Kathy and I were talking, very low elevation. Most of the state is from 0 to 150 feet in elevation. The highest point of the state is in the top part of it, which is 300 to 600 feet elevation, depending what part of that is. But, I mean, it's very, very tip northern part of it. It is located in the eastern part of the United States. It is bordered on the north by New Jersey. It comes to a point with New Jersey, Maryland, and Pennsylvania that we meet right at one point in the northern part of the state. On the east is the Atlantic Ocean, and on the south and west, Maryland. So Delaware is really quite closed in and really squeezed together there. Quite a few rivers run through Delaware. It's got a lot of drainage right through the state. The big waterway, the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal, runs from on the northern part of the state. Delaware consists of three counties, and that's it. It is Newcastle County, which is in the northern part of the state, Kent County, which is in the center part of the state, and that's where the Daly Winery is located, in the center part of the state, and the southern part is Sussex County, and that is where Nassau Valley Winery is located. The total of... I believe that's 500 and, it's not right. I was going to say 520 square miles, but it has to be more than that.
Wow.
Maybe not. The state is less than 50 miles at the widest part. It's only about 40 miles at the widest part, so it's not very big there. So, and it's only about, 75 or 80 miles at, from the bottom to the top. So it's a really small state. It is the second state in the United States. Rhode Island, infamously the smallest, as all these, everyone that ever studies states always knows that Rhode Island is a small state, but the second smallest is Delaware. State capital, Dover, is located in the center of the state pretty much. The major interstates, I-95, 495, and 235 are all up the northern tip of the state. There's no interstates that run down through the state. All of them are U.S. highways and different roads there, but there's nothing that runs down through the center. Like I said, Felton is located south of Dover, right off of U.S. 13. And then Nassau Valley is located in the southern part of the state, down by the Millsboro area and stuff like that, if I remember correctly. I can't find my note where I took that down. Again, small state, two wineries. The grapes, a battle there, the struggle there in the climate and all that, because of the soil. They're not really soil. Awful lot of clay mixed up in the sand. I always like to point out the AVAs, and I do have to point out the AVA of Delaware. There is one AVA, American Viticulture Area, that encompasses part of Delaware. That AVA is the it's called the Central Delaware Valley, New Jersey and Pennsylvania AVA. Now, considering Pennsylvania and New Jersey is up at the very tip of it, and there is no wineries up at that part of it, then as far as an AVA goes, it really doesn't help Delaware a whole lot that I can see right now. But I suppose if you make your, you open up a winery up by Wilmington, which is up at the very tip of Delaware, then you'll be part of the Central Delaware Valley, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania AVA. But that's the only AVA in that area. Delaware... 1,954 square miles is all it is. Population, that's of 2,783,000 people. So it's a small state and a small small amount of population all in it. First state in the United States to become a state on December 7th, 1787. So that's a little bit about Delaware there, and a little bit about Delaware wine. State flower, peach blossom, state tree, American holly, and state bird, blue hen chicken. State bug, the ladybug. So that was Delaware. We can't spend a whole lot of time on Delaware because there's not a whole lot of time there.
That's true. I wonder what's going to happen when we get to Rhode Island.
Yeah, I know. That's a little frightening. But if they have one, we can make it through. So.
Yeah. Very cool.
But we were going to talk earlier. We'll say goodbye to Delaware here. Next week, we're going to go into Florida and talk about the wines in Florida. But we're going to talk a little bit here about sweet wines and the different levels of sweetness in of the German wines. I think that's what we're – is that right, Mike?
I had – there was something about that and the late harvest deal, but
That's part of the late harvest.
Right.
Let me spend about 5 or 6 minutes talking about that stuff, then, and we'll get toward the end of our show here.
Sure.
Late harvest wine. Wines are to be picked when they're ready. And it's when I say they're ready, that's different areas pick at different times. Different growers have different ideas of when to know when to pick the wines and the grapes. Different ones have different ideas when they pick the grapes, and it all varies. I mean, it depends on, like Kathy was just saying, they pick some grapes at the 1st of September, normally they're not ready until second week of October or so. So it just, you got to know what you're looking at. You got to know when it's ready. A lot of them test the sugar level and judge it by the sugar level. Others say that that's a ridiculous way to do it, and it's better to just taste the grape once you know what you're doing. Taste grape, you know if it's ready. And there's all sorts of methods. But one thing that they all agree on is a late harvest grape. If you let the grape stay on the vine, let it stay there longer so that it starts getting a reaction to a mold that is on the grapes, Botrytis cinerea. Botrytis cinerea, what's spelled as cinerea, C-I-N, cinerea. Botrytis cinerea is a mold spore that is on grapes. Now, I have read places that said that all grapes have this mold. I've read other places that say that it comes in as the season gets later and it gets a little bit cooler and the mold starts to grow then. Maybe all grapes do have it. I don't know. I'm finding too many conflicting viewpoints to really say one way or the other. But this Botrytis cinerea, what the mold does is it lives off the moisture of the grape. It literally sucks the juice out of the wine, the moisture out of the wine. When it does this, it leaves nothing but the sugar in there. It doesn't take anything away from the sugar content of the grapes. It just takes the moisture. So when you have a mold that is sucking the moisture out and leaving the sugar in, the grape tends to be sweeter, obviously. Now, if you pick these grapes after the mold has sucked some moisture out of it, and you reduce the amount of water in it, then you're going to get a sweeter wine. This is what's usually referred to as a late harvest. A lot of times, late harvest is interchangeable on the bottles with the word Botrytis wine. You'll see both. You'll see late harvest or Botrytis. And Botrytis is the mold, which means that the moisture has been sucked out, leaving just the sugar contents, and therefore they ferment for a sweet wine. Now, you can have a Botrytis wine for any type of grape. Usually, it's reserved for white grapes or lighter grapes or stuff like that. That's most of the time when you do a Botrytis wine, those are the ones you're going to see more than anything. But I have seen wines advertised for late harvest or Botrytis, Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Merlot, Syrah, just about any grape you can leave on the vine. If you want to leave it on the vine and take the chance of the thing. Now, you are taking chances. You're taking chances that these grapes could form some serious rot problems. You're taking a chance that you can have a sudden change in weather, storm go through in your crop. So it's a gamble. Usually, when you harvest wines, you can jack the price up a little bit because you aren't taking that chance, and it's almost worth it. Germany, on the 3 minute of Danube, Moselle, and Rhine, all the vineyards rope up from the rivers, the hillsides. In the fall, if they don't pick the grapes, they leave them on the vine, the fog from these rivers roll up into the grapes, into the vineyards, and all the grapes. This fog activates this mold very quickly, and so the moisture is being sucked up by this mold on the grapes. If the wine is picked immediately after the mold starts reacting, this is a wine that the Germans call a Spätlese, and you can find Spätlese wines all over the place. They're everywhere. If you wait until this mold is a little bit more in depth in the grape, or picks a little bit more of the juice out or the water out, and make a wine from that, this is called an Auslese. Again, you can find this in all sorts of stores everywhere. There is, you leave it on longer. You wait until more moisture is sucked out. You pick these grapes, you make a wine from this. It's called a Baron Auslese, B-A-R-E-E-N, Baron Auslese. Leaving the grapes on longer, actually, at this point, the grapes look like raisins. So much moisture has been sucked out of these grapes. So much of the juice has been sucked out by this mold and lived on by this mold that it makes the grapes look like raisins. And they're just like little raisin, sweet little raisin sugar balls. And you make a wine from this, and this is called a Trockenbaren Auslese. These are terms that cannot be used anywhere but in Germany. These are actually, you can say late harvest or super late harvest, but you cannot call any of these names anything except in German wines. If a freeze comes in, the wines freeze on the vine, you pick these grapes at night when the temperature is in below freezing, you take it back to the winery, you cold press them. Whatever moisture that's left in these things has been frozen, so you cold press these, and you get this pure nectar of sweet grape juice. This is called an ice wine, E-I-S-W-E-I-N, an ice wine, or an ice wine, German for ice wine. Now, a very beautiful wine, very delicate, good flavors and good taste. They make ice wines in northern climates everywhere in the world, basically. In the United States and Canada make them, but they just freeze the grapes on the vines and pick them and cold press them there. You don't have the mold working on as much, so therefore the sweetness hasn't been concentrated, and you're going to get some juice and some grape juice and some water. So a late harvest basically is the same as German ice wines, only probably not as intense. You'll find late harvest arbitritis wines throughout the country, which means that the mold is activated on them, and it's going to be a little bit sweeter wine. So if you see something that says late harvest arbitritis, then expect the sweetness levels to be higher every time on that. So there we go on that.
Yeah, excellent. Very cool. All right, we have less than 2 minutes, maybe about a minute or so, a minute and a half of the program here. Thank you, Ron.
I want to thank Kathy one last time.
Yeah, I was going to.
Were you going to do that?
Yeah, thank you, Kathy, from Pizzabilli Vineyard and Winery located at 1683 Peach Basket Road in Felton, Delaware, area code 302-284-9463. Give them a call. Let them know you heard about them on the show. Maybe order some wine and visit them. Definitely if you're in the Delaware area, anywhere around Delaware, you can get to it. Peach Basket Road to Felton, Delaware. Really nice location there. And, Ron, thank you as always. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you some information out there. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Give them a call at area code 813-996-2113 or visit them on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Visit the website, sign up for the newsletter. It's a great newsletter and a lot of information in there, and it's a great read. I love to read through it. And they also tell you about the Wine Fest, which coming up, the next one is September 25th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. That's Wine Festival located at Florida State's Winery. Definitely check that out on September 25th. I believe we are done here. Kathy from Piccadilly Vineyard and Winery, thank you again for calling, and we hope to see everybody back here next Thursday for All About Wine when we discuss Florida. Wow. Yeah, that'd be cool. So tune in 7 p.m. Eastern time as we do almost Thursday. We have 10 seconds left. Okay.
Goodbye.
Yes. Any longer, we'd have to sing or something. I don't know. see y'all next time. Thank you.
Yeah, 1,000 mics.
1,000 mics. Let me see.